The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Question. And the question is, just for a moment, I want you to pause and to think, what is your idea of God in your head? What idea have you been living with, or when you come to pray to God, what is your idea, what's the picture or the vision of God you have in your head? And I think most of us here in the Western world for a long time have a picture of almost certainly an old man sitting on a big throne, kind of very angry at times, sort of policeman in the sky, or like a pharaoh sitting on top of a pyramid waiting to pounce on us lowly subjects here below, a God to be feared rather than loved. That's the image that I had for a long time and that I grew up with as a child. There's a little story, and it's a simple little story about the teacher in the school in a drawing class or a little art class, asked the children, can you draw a little picture of something for me? And then she began walking around the room and asking each little one what picture was drawing. She came to this little girl and she said, what are you drawing? And she said, I'm drawing a picture of God. Oh, says the teacher, but nobody knows what God is like. To which the little girl replied, well, they will do when I'm finished. And maybe there was more truth in what she said than not, because all of us have our own idea of God, as I've just said, in our head. So when we come to the Trinity, how do we explain that rather than saying just it's a mystery? Well, we don't find the word Trinity is never used in the Bible. You don't find it in the New Testament. So where did we get the idea of Trinity from? And the first, as far as I can remember, to speak about the Trinity was Tertullian, way back in the 4th century, in 300 and something. And so, in simple terms, we can get an idea, and a very clear idea, of why God is three divine persons. Because I don't know if you've ever thought, if God was only one person, then God could not love. There must be someone to love. And so we begin, and this is important, rather than beginning with the one, we begin with the three and try to work backwards. And so God loves the Son. The Son loves the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Son. And the Son loves the Father. And so we got is a circle of love, a water wheel of love that's ever flowing. So it's a continual flow of love. And we become part of that flow when you or I love. Now hopefully that makes sense. And love really is all about relationship, because the Trinity is all about relationship. Now, maybe a nice little example of that from my own life, really. I remember back to when I was 4 years of age, and my dad was very interested in cars. And often on a Sunday afternoon, he would go out and he would polish and clean the car. And then he would say to me, because I'd be outside trying to help him, being more of a nuisance than a help. And he would say to me, go in and ask Mammy, would she like to come for a drive? So I'd run in and say, Mammy, Daddy wants to know, would you like to go for a drive? And she might sometimes say, no, I'm okay. And I would go back and I would tell my dad, no, she said, she doesn't really want to go for a drive. And then he would say to me, oh, well, if you go in and coax her, she might come for a drive. So I'd go running back in again, ask her, Mammy, please, it would be nice to come for a drive. And I'd go back out and tell Daddy. She said she might. So I was making progress all the time. Can you see what I'm trying to point out? Father, mother, love between the two. And who was I? I was the result of that love. Sort of little Trinity. Very happy little Trinity before my sister came along. Then the whole thing went apart. Sisters normally do sometimes. So there was a little, you know, a little circle of love there. And then, of course, my parents had two more children, and so began a bigger circle of love. And then when you go on to have grandchildren, you see how it all comes as a result of emptying love into one another. Now, another part, very interesting part of the Trinity, the very factor of three, and this is where science and religion are becoming closer and closer all the time. Because go back to the very foundation of all things, that the atom, and the atom is made up of three particles. There's the proton, there's the neutron, and there is the electron. And what gives them energy is the relationship between the three. And when the atom is split, the developer, or the man who developed the atomic bomb, Robert Oppenheimer, when he tested the atom bomb for the first time in New Mexico, not conscious of what he was doing, he named a place where he tested the bomb, the initial bomb, Trinity, not conscious of the significance of what he was doing. Now, everything in the whole world is in relationship. And we are in relationship whether we know it or not. I cannot exist entirely on my own. I need other people in my life. On my own, I just couldn't exist. We all need one another. The other beautiful thing about the Trinity This is very important in the present time. Between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is diversity, not uniformity. And what we're trying to seek in the world is union in diversity rather than uniformity. Uniformity is not a good thing. Unity in diversity. So we have to respect one another. And each and every person in this world is totally different. They are unique. Go into any place where there's a number of people, look around, and no two faces, no two people are identical. Even identical twins, they have differences between them. There's diversity. And in the world, while all things are in relationship, there is a union of diversity. And God respects our diversity. And isn't that a wonderful lesson for today's world, especially when we look at what is going on at this very moment, not only here in this country, but in many countries throughout the world, where people of all colors, creeds, and ethnic origin are marching for peace, peace among people, all begun by what happened 2 weeks tomorrow night, Monday, I think the 25th of May. And so we're marching and we're seeking unity in diversity. That's a good way of looking at the present situation. That is the aim. And you remember, and that is based on the whole, and that's a lovely way of looking at the Trinity. So God is the classic, perfect example of unity in diversity. While we have three separate persons, but we have one God. So there's total unity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the thing that maintains that unity is relationship, is love. You remember, I don't know how many years ago, but I used to often listen to his music. There was a composer called Burt Bacharach, and there was a little song he had, or he composed, "All the World Needs Is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there is too little of. All the world needs is love, sweet love. Love not for someone, but for everyone." How applicable that is at this moment. And I just wish that those, our leaders, some of whom are barricaded behind walls of steel and soldiers and weapons and fences, would listen and show a little bit of love rather than increasing and almost forcing more violence by their own behavior. My prayer, and I hope your prayer from now on, that we will all listen. Not just the people at the bottom, but the people at the top. We've all got to eventually meet, because that is the only solution. And when we do that, then we're becoming more the people that God wants us to be. People in love, loving people, respecting one another's diversity, unity in diversity.